Hello, everybody. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and this is a review of the MZR H10 mini disc recorder. It probably is going to be at least two, if not three, podcasts. In this first one, I want to describe the unit, talk about some of the pros and cons. In the second one, I want to talk about menu items, at least cover some of them, and play around with different kinds of microphones and see how they sound on this unit. And if we get around to it, in the third one, I'd like to cover the Sonic Stage software. I'm sitting here in front of my computer, so that's the noise you hear in the background. I'm using the Audio-Technica AT822 single-point stereo microphone. This is a very small recorder. It's about 3 inches square. Not exactly, but close enough. And about 3/4 inch thick. Let me describe it first. If it's lying on the table, on its flat surface, so the height is 3/4 inch, most of the buttons are on the top right-hand corner of the unit on the face. Starting at the top right, you have record, little tiny button. Then to the left, you have pause, little bit bigger button. And below that, you have a long, skinny button, which is the up and down volume control for playback. Below that, you have the menu key. Below that, you have the stop button. And below that is where you start running into trouble. Because below that is what they call their jog dial. Well, it's nothing like a jog dial, friends. I'm not sure what to call it. Imagine two little nibs, about 3/4 inch or an inch apart. Those are your track forward and track back buttons. And imagine that these nibs are connected by a rod. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the jog dial. What you do is you place your finger on the top of it and roll your finger back and forth to turn this little tiny jog dial, which is about the size of probably an 1/8 inch mini plug. It's tiny. Now, it does have serrations in it. So theoretically, the friction between it and your finger is increased, so it's easier to turn. And it does have detents, although those detents are pretty close together. So that's how you, once you've pressed the menu button, that's how you arrow down and up to get to menu choices. And when you get to the choice you want, you press down on the jog dial. It goes into that level of menus. You then search for the choice you want in that level of menu and press down and go into the third level of, yes, friends, it has many levels of menus. Now, you can put a fingernail in this little jog dial in between the serrations and move it that way and sort of use your fingernail to pull it down one notch. The detents are very close together. It's very easy to miss one. And they're reasonably easy to feel, but not all that easy. And if you've got fat fingers like I do, it's very hard to get between these two little nibs on the side of the jog dial. So, that's one of the problems right there. The attempt to get to menus will be a challenging one. On the top edge are all the jacks. On the very right-hand end, you have the headphone jack. And if you've ever owned a Sony Minidisc player, you know that there's a little hole for the jack, and then there's a slit right next to it where the remote control goes into, because there is a remote that comes with this unit. The jack just to the left of that is the microphone jack, and the jack to the left of that is the combination line-in jack and digital input. And to the left of that is the hold switch, a sliding switch. All the way to the left is on hold, and all the way to the right is not hold. Moving around to the left-hand side, you have the sliding switch that opens this sort of clamshell device, which allows you to extract the disc. And that's the only thing on that side. As you move around to the bottom, on the very left of the bottom, is another sliding switch. It's actually not a switch. It is a sliding door with a little knurled top on it that gives you some friction on your finger. That is the opening for the battery house. The battery is a NiCad battery. I don't know why they haven't gone to lithium yet, but they have not. And that's the only thing on the bottom of the device. On the right-hand side of the device is where you can plug a battery module to use a AA battery, either in addition to the nickel-cadmium battery that's inside, or in place of the nickel-cadmium. So you could operate this unit solely on one AA battery. On this side of the device also is the USB port, which has a nice little sliding door that covers it up. And the other thing on this side is the AC adapter port, which is pretty self-explanatory. And when you have the AC plugged in, it doesn't automatically charge the battery unless you press the stop button. And then it says battery charging and will charge the battery. And I'm told it takes about 3.5 hours for a totally dead battery. What I'd like to do now is talk about some of the pros and cons of this recorder. Certainly, one of the pros, one of the good things about this recorder, is its size. It is very small, very lightweight, very easy to carry around. It has extremely good mic preamps, and the mic preamps are good for very low-powered microphones. Recorders like the MicroTrack seem not to work as well with microphones like the Audio-Technica, which don't produce a lot of volume, because the further up you have to turn a mic preamplifier, the noisier it gets. So mics like the ones that Larry and a lot of you use for on-location binaural recording put out quite a bit of power, so you wouldn't have to turn the mic preamp up very high to get the sound you wanted. Therefore, the mic preamp is not adding its noise to the mix with any great degree. But this Audio-Technica mic and a lot of other mics are not quite that strong, and so you have to turn the preamp up a bit, and that's where you start getting noise, except this mic preamp is very quiet even when it's turned up all the way. So it's certainly quieter than the Eterol, or at least the R1, and quieter than the MicroTrack. All the mini-disc recorders I've had, including this one, have very good limiters. In fact, this one is a two-stage limiter. Sony doesn't refer to them this way, but I sort of refer to them as a hard limiter and a soft limiter. With the hard limiter, the volume gets turned down when the noise level is too high, and it turns itself up rather quickly. It really does match this microphone very well, so that you can record with this without getting distortion and without really hearing the limiter pumping all that much. With the soft limiter, which you would use if you really had loud, constant music, the volume of the mic gets knocked down, but it takes a longer time to come up. For speech, it's actually too long. It takes 15 or 20 seconds to actually return, depending on what kind of speech you're putting into it while it's down. But for music, if you're recording a solid, hot stream of high-volume music, it's really kind of a nice thing to have. Now, you can record in manual mode so that you actually control the volume, and unlike any of the earlier Sony mini-disc recorders, you can actually change the record level while recording. It's amazing that you couldn't do that in previous versions. You had to go into pause in order to do that. So, very nice limiter. It also has a low mic attenuation, so that if your mics are really hot, like some of the mics from Sound Professionals, and we'll demonstrate some of those next time, you can turn the mic gain down to low attenuation, and the limiter works on those mics as well. One of the other nice things about this is something I sort of mentioned in passing. It does take a removable battery, unlike the MicroTrack, which has a built-in battery, which, when it dies, I'm not sure how you replace it. This one can be removed. You can get 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever and charge them up, but you can use a AA battery, so that's a good thing. This recorder uses something called HiMD. I don't know how many of you are familiar with mini discs, but they are about the size of the recorder in terms of width and depth are obviously thinner. It's a physical object, a little disk that spins around inside a housing, kind of like a floppy disk, except it's a lot smaller and a lot more substantial. For many years, Sony has, and other people have, made mini discs that you get either 74 or 80 minutes on. Sony has come up with a different format which allows a whole lot more information to be stored on a disk. IMD discs are 1 gigabyte, and the recorder can record in 3 quality levels: PCM, or basically wave, high SP, and high LP. If you're recording on a regular mini disc, an 80-minute disc, in PCM format, you get 28 minutes of recording time. On a 1 gigabyte high MD disc, you get an hour and 34 minutes. On high SP, you get 220 minutes on an 80-minute mini disc and 755 minutes on a high MD disc. On high LP, you get 10 hours and 10 minutes on a regular mini disc and 34 hours on a high MD disc. So you can see you get quite a bit of information. Now I'm recording on high SP, which I can convert to WAV files with Sonic Stage software. The high LP mode will be a little bit less quality, more compression, but it's still quite doable. Now you can use older mini discs on this recorder, the ones that hold 74 and 80 minutes. You cannot, however, use high MD discs on older recorders which don't support the format. Okay, what about battery life? And I'm going to talk only about recording, because playback you're going to get a fair amount more. I'm going to give you times for each of the three modes. For the internal battery, it's 5 hours on PCM, 7.5 hours for high SP, and 8.5 for high LP. Now, I'm not going to go through all the battery settings, because you can obviously record with just a plain AA battery, and you don't get a whole lot of time, but it's reasonable. It's 2 hours, 2 hours, and 3 hours on the formats listed above. And I might as well give you the other now, because you can use both the AA battery and the internal battery, in which you get 8, 11.5, and 12.5 with each descending mode. In the recent past, you've been able to connect the computer to the MD recorder, but only to record files from the computer to the mini disc. You could never download files from the mini disc recorder to the computer. Now, with Sonic Stage software, you can. In addition, not only can you record what you record on the mini disc player, you can actually use the mini discs to record data. You simply don't run the Sonic Stage software, and the mini disc recorder looks just like an extra drive, and you can put Word files, text files, Excel files, anything you want on the mini disc. The other nice thing about this recorder is, as I said before, it has a digital input. This enables you to record from some pretty good mic preamps that have digital outputs, and there are a number of them out there. Some of them are not all that expensive. I have something called an Inbox, which I got from Core Sound, www.core-sound.com. I don't remember the price right at the moment, but it's around $150, something like that. It does not have phantom power, but it does have XLR inputs, uses a 9-volt battery, and has a really nice way of exchanging batteries really quickly. And with that, going into the digital input, or with even better phantom-powered preamps going into the digital input, you get really good sound, and you avoid the whole limiter problem of the recording, because it is depending at this point totally on the external microphone preamp. Okay, we've talked about some of the pros or good reasons for using this recorder, or things it will do well. Let's talk about some of the things that could be problematic. This first one is actually kind of half and half, because according to the manual, it says that you can't start the recorder by doing anything but starting to record. You hold down the record button, and then you press the jog dial, and it in fact does start recording. But when I read that, I thought, okay, so now all of your adjustments in terms of whether you want manual record or limiter record, or whether you want high or low mic preamps, have to be done while you're recording. I even called the people I bought it from and I said, is this true? And they said, well, no, you can press record and then you can quickly press pause and then you can do it. But unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, depending on what you want, each time you press pause, you put a separate track. So if I go in to record and then press pause, I've wasted a track. Not that that's a big deal, but it's just an empty track that you have to do. Well, I like to play around with things, and I did discover that if you hold down the pause button while you then press the record button, you do in fact go into pause. So that's at least so far undocumented in the manual as far as I can find. One of the other problems with this unit is that if you're using it in line-in mode to record from the radio or to record from a preamp, a mic preamp that has line-in, you'll put a new track on the disc each time the pause in the recording drops below a certain level for X amount of time. I don't happen to know what this is, but it's like 3 or 4 seconds and dropping below a certain decibel level. If I could read the manual easily, I could figure this out, but I can't. So every time you make a recording, if it's a music file and it's all constant music, that's fine. But if you're recording speech and you pause for a while, guess what? You're now in a different track. If you record a symphony and it gets to a low spot, it puts the next part in a different file. I've tried that. So it assumes that you're recording a certain kind of music that has a constant volume level. Well, you might not be. But out of this comes another thing that I've already mentioned, and that is that you can record in digital in, and that does not put a pause. That simply allows you to record from your microphone preamp in one file no matter how long you pause. So line in record is a problem if you don't want pauses in your track. The other problem is that mini discs are things that have to spin up, so they're not as quick as flashcard recorders at either starting up or going into record. You press the play button and it takes 3 or 4 seconds for the disc to spin up. You press the forward track button and it takes a couple seconds for the disc to get to that point in the track. Now there is something you can turn on in the menus called Always On, which means that the recorder is always on. Even though it is stopped and has been stopped for a long time, there's enough power there such that when you now press play, it starts pretty quickly. But of course, that drains power because it's always on, so one may not want to do that all the time. We've already talked about the jog dial being way too small. It is so small that I have, on a number of occasions, not been able to turn it easily or turned it too quickly and gone over a couple different menu items when I think I've only gone over one. You can get used to it, but it is something that you do with fear and trepidation. My old mini disc recorder, an MZR 900, which isn't all that old, has a wheel on the side. It doesn't turn all the way around. It's basically a wheel with a pointer that turns maybe a quarter turn and then springs back. And each time you turn it, it goes to a different item. And when you get to that item, you press in on it. Now that's much easier because you know how many times you've pressed this wheel around. Unfortunately, that's not a high mini disc recorder, and so it can't do a lot of the things that this recorder can do. But this jog dial is possible if you get used to it, if you have got little fingers, and if you want to spend some time playing around with it and hoping that you've done what you want to do. As I also said, the menus wrap, although when you turn the recorder off, when you press stop and let it actually spin down, the menus do come back in the same place. You press menu button, which you have to hold in for about a half a second, and it always comes down in the edit menu. After that, you're in La La Land, because anything you do in any of the menus, which are probably three levels deep, wraps. There's another subtle problem, which is really a bit more of a problem here. On my old MCR 900 recorder, let's say I'm in the menus, and I go to record level, and I press in on the jog dial, and I'm on mic attenuation. If it's on, and I've got headphones plugged into the recorder, and I've got a mic plugged in, I can hear what level it's at. If I turn the jog dial to the off position, I hear it decrease in volume, so I know I'm on low mic input. And then I press OK to make sure that's what I want. On the MZR-H10, this doesn't quite happen that way. You press the right menu items to get to the on and off low mic attenuation. You change from high to low. You hear no difference until you press the OK button. Now you've already done something. And if you've done what you wanted to do, it's OK. But if you haven't, well, see, so the whole purpose of hearing what you're doing before you press the OK button is a real nice feature. If you hold down the stop button for a few seconds, you actually exit the menu and can escape without making any changes. So you can get out of something you've done that you didn't happen to do correctly. But if you think you've changed something correctly, and you really haven't, you could have screwed up who knows what. And how do you know what you've screwed up until it's too late? So this is one of those, you really go in there and do things at your own risk kind of situations. The next concern is that this recorder does make some noise because it is a moving disc. I'm going to go into a quieter room and see if I can demonstrate this. It doesn't move all the time. In fact, because this is a high mini disc recorder, a high MD recorder, it doesn't move nearly as often. Well, of course, as soon as I go into a quiet room, the furnace comes on, but maybe I can do this anyway. I'm going to hold this mic right next to the recorder. This gets a lot more in its buffer than any of the mini discs that I've used do. So it only whirs once you start up, and then every once in a while, I haven't really figured out how often, but the 900 recorder I have whirs every maybe 30 seconds, and it's pretty loud. Now, this one hasn't done anything since I've been in here, so who knows what I'm going to have to talk about until it does it. Okay, so we'll talk about the next item. Because it's a movable disc, it is not as shockproof as flash cards. You could theoretically, while jumping up and down or walking over heavy terrain, have the disc skip. Although Sony has a pretty good skip-proof mechanism. I have not, in the years that I've had mini discs, had that happen. Now, this kind of high mini disc recorder, which gets more on a disc, may have smaller segments in which it writes to, and that may be a little more critical, but I don't know that. One thing you do have to make sure of is that when you press the stop button, it starts writing its table of contents. And it takes longer on this one than it did my old one. Then you have to make sure you're pretty calm. Not that it's any more likely to make a mistake than when you were walking or doing something else that bounced it around. But if you make a mistake in the table of contents, you could actually screw up the whole disc, depending on the way the table is written. Well, I've been in here for how long, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm recording, because I don't have my headphones on. There we go. All right, I've got the mic about 2 inches from the recorder, so you probably wouldn't hear that sound if it were much further away, and You notice it didn't stay on for very long. So it's actually quite good at keeping down the noise level that you hear on the recorder. All right, now I'm back in my room with the computer. The next question I have is MiniDisc a dying format? Because of all the flashcard recorders that are coming out, and this being a movable disc, Sony has probably increased the life of its product by a few years, few months, who knows what, by allowing it to record directly to WAVE in high MD mode on a high mini disc and in the WAVE setting. So you actually can record directly to WAVE rather than to this compressed format, which you can then turn into WAVE when you convert it to the computer. But because it is a movable object, it is not as stable as a flashcard recorder. The transfer is not as fast. The mini discs cost, the high mini discs at least, cost $6 or $7 at this point. Although you can record on regular mini discs, you just don't get as much on the disc, although you get a whole lot more than you used to. But I don't know how to answer that question about the format. Sony's going to work as hard as it can to keep it around, but I could think with all the flashcard recorders like the MicroTrack and the Eddyroll, which can go directly to WAV, 16-bit, 24-bit, 44, 48, I don't know how long these are going to be around. Well, I think that's about it for today. We've covered pretty much what I wanted to cover in part one. I'm finishing this out on my deck. It's actually a rather nice day out here. It could be up to 40 degrees. Who knows? Maybe by the time I do the next one, I'll just be able to sit out here. All right. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. My voice is wearing out. It's about time I went someplace. So I will talk to you soon. And in the meantime, stay well, keep warm, and have fun. Thanks for listening.